Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We're joined by, from Fox Sports, Lafitte Pinkai. Lafitte, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Great to be with you guys. How are you? It was a terrific, terrific call from Larry. Absolutely. You're not, you know, it's the last horse that you're looking for. It's the biggest price on the board, and picking him up on the rail, and you could hear in his voice, like the rest of the 150,000 at Churchill Downs, just pure, genuine shock.
And 12.6 million watching on TV felt the same way. Our mutual friend Dick Girardi, you know, and of course I travel all year round with Dick on basketball, but I had him on the show Thursday, and of course Rich Strike doesn't come up in the conversation because at that point he's not in the field. Okay? And so when it was over, I texted him. You have to be kidding me. He texted me back, impossible result. What was your thought watching this?
Just that. It was similar to how I felt watching Mind That Bird cross the wire in front at 50-1. A little over a decade ago, the race shape was much like Giacomo at 50-1, but at least you had covered them going into the Derby. At least you knew they were pointing at the race and were their names, and they were assigned numbers at the draw. You have to realize that also eligible list hasn't even been in existence for very long. It hasn't been many years that we've had an also eligible list for the Derby, whereas they draw the 20, and that would be it. If a horse scratched, there wasn't anybody on the bubble waiting to get in. So this is relatively new. I have to actually go back and look and see when that was sort of when that was created. So when Ethereal Road scratched, which is a huge part of the story, you know that Wayne Lucas likes to run, and you know that he's won derbies at big prices, and he won the Oaks the day before. So yeah, obviously he wasn't up to it. So when he scratched and this horse drew in, okay, we'll have a number 21 in the Kentucky Derby. But I don't know why you wouldn't do the deep dive research, because he just didn't figure. So that lack of familiarity, of course, we've seen big shocks and upsets in the Derby, but not like this. This is impossible.
Oh, my wife and I are sitting in a restaurant. They're doing the march by, and she says, "Who does Dick like?" And I said, "You know, we talked about, you know, the favorites in the field." And all of a sudden, he parades by. And at that point, he was 79-1. I said, "I don't know." I looked at her. I said, "I don't even think the owner bet on him."
He was 99-1 a few clicks, like a little bit earlier. Yeah.
Now, when you watch the race, the tactics of the race, I want to talk about the jockey for a moment. The jockey, to me, is a good example of a sport that has a lot of talent in it, but it's not always the major stars. But it doesn't mean that because you're at a smaller track or other tracks, there's not a lot of talent. And I think he showed great talent by the way he got through traffic.
Guy that has never won a graded stakes race in his life. Wins his first graded stakes race in a Derby, riding in his first Kentucky Derby. Sonny Leone rides at Mahoning Valley, some of these smaller tracks. In that one ride, you're never going to convince me that he's not really good at what he does.
Yeah,
it's horse racing. The jockey, of course, plays a vital role, but I think that for someone like a Sonny Leone, that if you gave him stock and he had good horses to ride, he'd be productive. While watching him for 2 minutes deliver an absolute clutch ride in a very challenging scenario, the weaving through traffic, every decision he had to make, you know, when a horse goes wire to wire, the jockey gets him to break fast, and you make the lead, and you nurse him along, and you ask him for his best when that time comes. It's a fairly simple strategy. What Sonny Leone did, coming from that far back, timing it just right, weaving in and out of traffic. If he makes one wrong decision, he probably doesn't catch Epicenter. Right. And so crucial when he got went towards the inside, If he tries to go all the way around horses, he's going to lose too much ground. He's going to lose momentum. He did encounter some traffic along the way. The ride was as big a part of the victory as anything else was. And this is life-changing for him. This is absolutely life-changing.
Well put. It is life-changing for him because of the 20-horse field, it brings with it exponentially more traffic. You're not supposed to be 16th at the turn because of the traffic and do this. How difficult is it to be a come-from-behind horse in the Kentucky Derby because of the number of horses in the field?
Yeah, the racing luck plays a vital role. This is always why you would prefer a horse with tactical speed in a Derby. And Joel Rosario on Epicenter rode tactically a brilliant race.
Yes.
Sensing the pace was so hot, getting him further back than he normally would be. If he was closer to that nuclear pace, he would have tired and not finished as strong. You watch Jerry Bailey's ride on Grindstone, one of the best Derby rides you'll ever see.
That's
on
right.
A closer, picking his spots, weaving in and out of traffic, and he beat Cavaneer by a nose. If he loses momentum, has to check, goes wide, and if anything wrong goes, he doesn't get there. Again, he won by millimeters in that 96 Derby. It's something that riders aren't accustomed to. It doesn't happen. You ride in 20 horse fields when? Once in the Derby. That's it. So when you're back there, you know that what I remember Jerry Bailey's explained on the broadcast, you try to pick a horse that you think is going to be finishing well, that you can count on, that you believe going in, okay, if I stay behind this horse, I don't think he's going to stop right in my face and I have to pull up and go around and find another path. You try to find a quality horse to follow. That's something Jerry Bailey always emphasized. It's snap, you know, in that moment, the thinking that has to happen, it's instinct, it's your talent. In his case, Sonny Leone, and that, you know, made every right move on a horse that nobody knew anything about. I can't tell you how many times I've watched the race, and it's still, just as the fan in me, still hasn't quite processed it, how incredibly impossible this storyline is. A horse that was claimed for $30,000 that wasn't in the race Friday morning won the Derby.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's Buster Douglas. You know, when you look at the last couple of Derbies, each one, you know, there was a disqualification. Then, of course, Medina Spirit, you know, finally got overturned. You had a full house, 150,000 plus, big audience, this improbable result. What kind of day was this for the sport of racing?
It's a feel-good story. It really is. And it's been beaten up pretty good over the last year with what took place with Medina Spirit, the most recognizable figure in the sport, and Bob Baffert, and it being his horse that he trained that was disqualified. We lost Medina Spirit, all of it. It becomes, for someone who doesn't know the sport very well, trying to explain it, you don't want to sound like an apologist, and sometimes certain things happen that are, it makes it very difficult for someone who doesn't follow closely to, you know, to not look at the game in a negative, from a negative perspective. And it's understandable at times. Absolutely it is. So as a result of what happened last year, this was the polar opposite. This is the sport at its best. It's a long shot. How can you not root for an underdog? This is, as he's now being referred to as, you know, America's horse. And that you don't have to be a gazillionaire and spend a zillion dollars at a sale to come up with a horse that can win a Kentucky Derby. A $30,000 claim, an incredible story with trainer Eric Reed, who has gone through a lot of personal tragedy, losing people close to him, a grandson, friends from cancer. He lost several, maybe a couple dozen horses in a barn fire. It's been incredibly, as he describes it, very dark, and at times I believe he's pointed out that just the love for the horses is the only thing that's kept him in the game. And to wind up where he is and in that moment, what that means to him and to be there with his father and all those emotions, this is everything that's right in the sport. And I'm glad that that the world got to see what the sport looks like, feels like, sounds like when everything, when it, the way it should feel.
In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because the barn fire, he almost got out of it. And yet there were a lot of people within the sport that rallied around him. And these are elements that, like, you know about, I've heard about, you know, being around Dick, I'll hear a lot of this stuff. There are far more really good people around these things than people realize, and this was a good example of it.
Absolutely. And I promise you that when the millions tune in to watch the Preakness in 2 weeks, this everybody watching is going to be rooting for Rich Strike. Like, if you have a soul and heart and a pulse, I don't know how you can't root for this horse because of what he represents, the people around him. Eric Reed was explaining what took place after the race because he was still in that zone. These are athletes, all right? They're not pets.
Yeah.
And when they pulled him up and he was kind of fighting at the pony and bit the outrider's leg and, you know, I'm assuming that's probably why we didn't hear from Donna Brothers talking to the jockey and Sonny Leone, because she probably couldn't get near him. And he's like, he's still in that zone, man. His mindset was to beat every horse on that track. And here's another one I got to beat, even the pony. He was still in that, like an athlete gets in the zone. That's what you still saw from Rich Strike after the fact. And probably a big reason that he wound up winning the Derby. The Derby's about racing luck, talent, and mental fortitude. That horse has the mental fortitude, and that's what we saw. That killer instinct that he was still displaying a couple of minutes, you know, even after the win, after a mile and a quarter in that effort, you think he'd be exhausted? No, he was ready for more.
Right,
which is another part of his personality, a characteristic that someone at home who doesn't follow the sport closely can connect with. That every great athlete has a mean streak. Is he a great racehorse? We don't know that. Was this a fluke? Maybe. We're going to find out. Mind that bird came back and ran very well in the Preakness. Took Rachel Alexander to beat him. And he ran very well in the Belmont. So that wasn't a fluke. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, one of the keys is that when you watch the Derby about the Belmont, now it's obviously further down the road, about a mile and a half. Look at the next 100 yards after the finish. Does the horse still have something? That horse had something 100 yards after the finish.
He had something, all right, for anybody that got near him. Dead closers don't necessarily thrive at the Belmont, and that's still a long way away. But, yeah, he wasn't tired. If he gets beat in the Preakness, it's not going to be because, you know, the Derby took so much out of him. I didn't get that sense after the race. Now we'll watch him closely. There's always how do they gallop? How is their energy? How is their weight? As Bob Baffert has often pointed out, it's not the 2 weeks in between the Derby and the Preakness that gets the horse. It's the 3 weeks in between the Preakness and the Belmont. That's when they start showing signs of fatigue and difficulty keeping weight on, that kind of thing. He's going to be... you have to remember the competition in the Preakness. You know that the two California horses aren't going to be there, and Messi and Tavia, I'm disappointed. I hope that wasn't too negative of an experience for Tavia, that we don't see him maximize his potential, because I think that was just too much too soon, and I said that before the Kentucky Derby. We know Todd Pletcher, unless he wins the Derby, he doesn't run his horses in the Preakness. The Mo Donegals and Charge It, I would guess, for the Belmont. I would imagine Epicenter. I don't know about Zandon, but the Preakness, from a competition standpoint, Rich Strike, the competition won't be what it was at the Derby in terms of volume and talent. So if he can reproduce his run from the Derby, who knows? Maybe we're talking about this former $30,000 maiden claimer who wasn't in the Derby the day before the Derby bidding for a Triple Crown.
Well, then let's all have fun with it. All right.
Absolutely. Lafitte. It's a great story.
let's have fun with it.
It's an awesome Cinderella story, and let's ride it as long as we can.
Exactly. It's fun. That's what sports is supposed to be, fun. All right. Lafitte, always a pleasure. Great to have you on the show.
Anytime. Thanks so much. Talk soon.